Acts chapter number 5, we're going to continue our thought of go is in God and the gospel. I know that the missions emphasis aspect of our month is gone, but we're fixing to step into September for souls. And missions have been somewhat of a global emphasis, and September is going to be more of a local emphasis. But still, behind both is the word go. So we're going to be preaching as the Lord will lead us. I do want to definitely say that. I don't want to just have a thing in my mind, you know, that we're going to do this, and that we're going to go this direction, and we're going to preach this. You know, we're going to try to be obedient to the Lord. But I believe the Lord wants us to preach on it some more. Go is in God and the gospel. In Acts chapter number 5, of course, the book of Acts, most of you know, covers a transition period of about 30 years. And you don't really build doctrine out of the book of Acts. There's doctrine in it, but you don't build doctrine. You don't form your doctrine in the book of Acts because it's a transitional period. Things are changing. We're moving from law to grace. We're moving to the end of the church age, starting into that. And the book of Acts is really as many of your Bibles probably has got it identified as Acts of the Apostles. And there's definitely nothing wrong with that because it does cover the Acts of the Apostles. And I thought about this. Could the Spirit of God write anything and call it the book of Acts about me or you? The book of Acts is a book of action. It's a book of activity. It's a book of motion and movement and accomplishment. It's people being active for the Lord. And I wonder how much probably a one verse book would be about all could be wrote about me, maybe, or a one sentence. But this book not only could be identified as the Acts of the Apostles, but it also could be accurately talked about the Acts of the Spirit. Because you see throughout the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit coming and moving and working and infusing power and boldness into into the disciples of the Lord to stand and to speak and to go and to serve in all kinds of circumstances. In chapter number 5, we come into chapter 5. Actually, I just read this yesterday, and the Lord began to speak to my heart about it yesterday in devotions there. And boy, you ought to want God to give you something. The Lord gave me another message today. I thought I was going to preach it tonight. I was beside my bed there. I've got on my side it's just a little small, little wood box. It's got 365 scriptures in it, just one for each day. You just look at them, you know. And I looked at today's verse and I thought, ooh, that's good. Psalms 142 and verse 3. And I'll preach it, but I thought I was going to preach it tonight. The Lord's led us this way, and I'm glad God speaks to us. It's one thing to read the Bible; it's another thing for God to give you something. And you ought not to ever be, you ought not, never feel good about reading the Bible and not getting nothing. You ought to say, "Well, something's wrong, Lord. I'm going to go back and read that again. Surely a chapter of the inspired, infallible Word of God could not be read without something being given to your soul." Amen. And so, but anyway, we're going to share this tonight. In chapter number 5, I'm going to read one verse, then I'm going to go back and, well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing I can say to be more important than what the Bible says. Let's just look at this together and start in about verse number 12. We'll just start in verse number 12, and it won't take us just a minute here to read these verses. But in chapter number 5, verse number 12, And great things have been happening in the earlier part of the chapter. And the Bible says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers, I got a little check mark beside this verse, and believers were more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Boy, wouldn't that be something good to be said in this day? That there's multitudes being saved. And earlier in the chapters, you find where the Bible said, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And I believe there's people getting saved somewhere every day. When the Lord said He adds daily to the church, I believe He's saving people somewhere every day. And that last one may be going to get in here before long. I wonder if the last one had gotten in Sunday, I wonder how many would still be left here. Amen. I wonder if the last one had gotten in today somewhere around the world and we'd checked out, Jesus come, we'd left. I wonder how many would still be here. I wonder how many would have wondered who's going to preach the sermon and the service tonight. I wonder who would have wondered who's going to cut the lights on or off. Amen. And that's something to think about, isn't it? Amen. That's something to think about. But the Bible says here that there was multitudes added to the Lord. Verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth sick unto the streets, into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. That Peter had such power on him, and people had such confidence in him. They said if we could just get close enough to where his shadow gets on us, that God's going to do something. I wonder if we have that kind of power with God. I wonder if people have that much confidence in us to say, you know, if I could just get close. I believe if I could just go to Rogersville Baptist Temple and get in one service, just one service, something will happen. I wonder if we got that kind of power, our church. And it goes on, verse 16, there came also multitudes out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Well, there was a lot of activity going right here. That multitude in verse 14 of men and women that was added to the Lord because that the apostles had the power of God on them and preached the gospel, they got busy. I mean, they were added to the Lord in one verse, and the next verse, they're bringing people get some help. They're going out and getting people. Amen. Verse 17, then the high priest, now you'd think that the high priest would like what was going on. People's getting right, people's getting healed, people's getting saved. I mean, there's multitudes, that's the word the Bible used, there's multitudes being added to the Lord. You'd have thought the high priest would have been tickled to death over what was going on. But look what it says in verse 17. In fact, Brother Carroll, I circled the word then in verse 17. It's going good. Things are happening. Lord's a blessing. The power of God is being poured out. People's lives are being radically and forever changed. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They were mad. They were upset at what God was doing. Now that don't make sense, does it? You'd think somebody that was halfway religious would like to see some kind of movement, some kind of action, something going on, but instead he got mad. Maybe he was mad because it wasn't happening through him. That's probably what it was. Maybe he was jealous. Hey man, he was a high priest. He had the position, but he didn't have no power. And here Peter steps up and he rears back and preaches, you know, and people are getting saved everywhere. Well, I've got to do better than this if we're going to get on into the chapter. I said it wasn't going to take long to read it. Well, it'll take a while to read it if I preach on every word. Then the high priest, verse 18 says, and laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord... No, boy, you're talking about a miracle. I want you to... Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this, but it blessed me to read it again. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said... What's the word he said? Go. Not just go, but go and stand. Go, stand, and speak. If you want three words to define and describe the will of God for your life and me, and mine would be go, stand, and speak. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. I like that. Verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now, we're going to do business now. We've had them in prison all night, and we're going to go get them now, and we're going to bring judgment on them. Oh, was they in for a rude awakening? Verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told. And here's what they said. Saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. The doors were closed, sir, and the security system was on. The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers, the guards, standing without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, what's this? They doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They said, uh-oh, boys, we're in trouble. There was multitudes added to the Lord before they got in prison. Now they've got out of prison miraculously. The guards at the doors didn't even see nothing. The prison doors are truly shut. Everything's still in place, but they are out and they're gone. When this gets out on us, there's going to be some big growth takes place. Amen. Yeah, their number one concern was, uh-oh. Oh, what's going to happen now? How is this going to result in growth? Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people. See, there was, even back then, they knew that if you messed with the preacher, you had trouble out of the people. But our day, it's right the opposite. It's the people that's causing the preacher a lot of trouble a lot of times. But here they said, well, you know, we're going to get them, but we're not going to have any violence because we're afraid of the people. There's a fear of the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council and high priest and asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Boy, wouldn't that be good to be said? I tell you what you're guilty of. You not guilty of murder and lying and cheating and tax evasion. You're guilty of filling Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Said you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, and here's my text for the message tonight, we ought to obey God rather than than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. I like that, don't you? When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Now, fellas, y'all go over there. I want to talk to these men a minute. Y'all just step right over there. I'll be done in a sec. I got something I want to tell these men. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. You better think twice before you put your hand on these men. I mean, they've got the power of God on them. They're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They've got a commission behind them to go and stand and speak. And you better be careful getting in the way of God. Watch this. I like this. And he gives two illustrations. Verse 36. For before these days rose up Theodos, or however you, how you say that, Theodos, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. In other words, don't worry about it, fellas. You remember that man that stepped up and became a leader, and 400 men joined with him, and he wasn't of God, and guess what happened? He was killed, and everybody with him had all come to naught. Comes up with a second illustration. And after this rose up Judas, in verse 37, and after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Just like with Theodos and Judas, he said they, what they did wasn't of God, it was of man, and it played out. It come to naught. And if what these men are doing, these apostles, what Peter's doing, if what they're preaching and what they're doing is of man, you don't have to fight it. You don't have to worry about it. It will come to naught. But look at verse 39. But if it be of God. Now that, fellas, is what you better worry about. If it's not of God, it's going to fade out. It's going to fizzle out. And anybody that fizzles out, you're giving testimony that whatever you claim to have was not of God. I believe strongly the Bible teaches and teaches the perseverance of the saints. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. God puts that never quit spirit in you when you get in. This crowd that gets in and they don't even get in till they're out, something's wrong with that. I mean, the baptismal waters is not even dried on their clothes till they're done out. Something's wrong with that. Amen. I tell you, when I had a profession only and a religious church membership only, I'll tell you what I had come to naught. It didn't last no time. Amen. January 20th, 1981, you've heard that date, I'm sure. That's when I met the man from Galilee. That's when I met Jesus, hallelujah. And I got gloriously saved. My life was changed. And that crowd said, oh, don't worry about him. He's just on a little religious kick. He'll be back. He'll be back at the parties. He'll be back down at the dance hall. He'll be back. Well, praise God, January, this coming January, it'll be 30 years, hallelujah. And I've not been back. Amen. Well, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found to fight against God.
And to him they agreed. Okay, fellas. If it's of man, it'll play out. It's of God. We can't do nothing about it anyway. So we're just going to leave it alone. And look what they did. Now, why did they do this? Verse 40. And to him they agreed. Okay, it's what we're going to do. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them. I mean, they said, they've already agreed they're going to turn him loose. They already agreed that if it's of man, it's going to play out. If it's of God, we can't deal with it. We can't overthrow it. Because we'll be fighting against God, but we're going to give them another lick or two just so they'll know we was here. Amen. You ever been around that crowd? They know that they just want to get another lick in, another word in, another... Huh? And they brought them in, the Bible said, and beat them. Then, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, I like this word, rejoicing. Rejoicing, and I know if it wasn't for the last part of that verse, you'd think they were rejoicing because they got out. They were rejoicing because they were set free. But that weren't it. The Bible said they were rejoicing that they should, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Yeah, they were shouting because they were suffering over being a Christian. Are you listening? The world recognizes honorable people with stars. God recognizes honorable people with scars. Paul said he bare in his body the marks of the cross. I appreciate what Brother Frankie said a while ago about the music and all of that of those people he works with, how it vexes him. And I wondered, I started to speak up even then and make a statement, how many in here does the world vex you? How long's it been since you've been vexed in your spirit over hearing something or seeing something of this world? But most people today, they're not vexed. They don't even feel bad. And rather, they are participant. They enjoy it. They are right in there, counted into the number. Something's wrong with that. We have drifted. I say we, referring to the church in general. We've drifted so far away from the Bible standard of what a Christian is that now you can put Christian on about anything. You can put Christian on about everything. It don't matter. It don't matter. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Look what it says here. I've got to give you what the Lord gave me and we'll be done. And they rejoice, verse number 42, and daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. After that crowd told them, said, don't you do it. Don't speak anymore in this name. And the Bible said that daily in the temple and in every house they cease not. They cease not. I just seen that. I'm going to underline that right now so I won't forget it. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And then chapter 6, verse 1, though I'll read this and be done reading. In those days... And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied. Boy, there's a lot. Y'all notice the words multitude and added and multiplied. I want to tell you, if God's people will do the work of God's way, it'll have God's prosperity on it. It'll have God's progress on it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe if we do it God's way, we'll have God's support. I'm interested in just the message out of verse 29 on we ought to obey God rather than men. We're told in the Bible to go. We're told in the Bible to go. Everybody that's saved has got that commission on their life to go. Whether it's local or global, to go. Or to go personally or to go through a missionary. God wants us to be going. And I know I fail so much in that area. But I want us to point out a few things about going in this passage or obeying. God says, go. But He knows that you have a will and that I have a will that can either obey or disobey. In fact, that's about the only two responses you can have to go is either okay or no. It's either I will or I won't. But let me just give you this quickly. I know we've already been a good bit of time, but I noticed first of all that when you obey the Lord, and by the way, that's the will of God for everybody. You measure and define spirituality by obedience. You don't measure spirituality by how loud somebody shouts. Oh, no. You measure spirituality, my friend, by obedience. By obedience. And all the Bible's full of obedience. And can I say tonight, I'm glad that Jesus obeyed. The Bible said in Philippians 2, I believe verse number 8, that He became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. What about that? He became obedient even unto death. What about that? And boy, we shout about that. Oh, we praise God that we have a Savior that wouldn't stop at nothing but would obey God even to the point of death. But what about us obeying? What about us obeying? Here, write these things down. First of all, and I'm just going to go through here and give them to you. First of all, I noticed the persecution of obedience. These men were not trying to pick a fight. These men were not trying to be hard to get along with. They were just doing the will of God. They were just proclaiming the Word of God. They were just, my friend, doing a good deed. Everybody, and there was multitudes being added to the Lord and helped and healed and just great things happening. And all of a sudden, they were persecuted. And I just simply believe the Lord wants us to know tonight that if we obey God, that everybody is not going to pat you on the back. And everybody is not going to say good job. And everybody is not going to stand and applaud you. No, there'll be people, my friend, that will mock you and make fun of you and criticize you. And amen, whether it's out of jealousy or whatever, there will be persecution that comes with obedience. And I believe that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't obey God in the area, my friend, of sanctification, in the area of spirituality and separation, is because they know the persecution that comes with it. You think that you're going to stand up in your workplace or stand up at the schoolhouse or stand up among your peers and be counted as a Christian in action and in word and not be persecuted? In fact, I wonder how many would still retain fellowship and friendship with you if you was a Christian. My experience had been when I got saved, that crowd that I was thick with, buddy. I'm talking about thick with that crowd, buddy. When I got saved, they called me. I didn't have to get rid of them, Brother Stallard. I didn't have to call one of them and say, you know what? I just can't have fellowship with you no more. You're pulling me down. Amen. I tell you what, help that crowd, Brother Frankie. Start praising the Lord and having a shouting spell every time they turn that music on. Well, if y'all going to listen to that, you got time to listen to that trash, I'm going to have me a prayer meeting, and I believe I'm going to do it right here and right now and pray a hole in the sky. It won't be long till they start turning something off. Amen. That's right. But there is the persecution of obedience. God wants us to go. And if we go, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be confrontation. There's going to be persecution. Number two, quickly. And that's illustrated all through here, and we've read it and you've seen it. But number two, I noticed the people of obedience. Verse 29, Peter said, along with the other apostles, with one voice, answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than man. I want to ask you, are you one of the we crowd? Hello? I think that's preaching a question right there. I wonder how many tonight is in the wee bunch. Preacher, count me in that crowd that's going to obey God. Count me in that crowd, preacher, that's interested in doing the will of God. Are you in that wee crowd? Are you listening? I tell you, as a pastor, it's hard for me to... I'm telling you, you just don't know the maintenance that's involved in trying to stay spiritual as a preacher, pastor. I mean, really, I wonder sometimes even about our church, how many's really with us. I mean, really. I mean, in your heart, really with us. Really interested in the direction that our church is going in. Really interested in. I wonder how many of our young people is in the, could raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm a part of that we crowd. We ought to obey God. The people of obedience is not sinners, it's saved people. Obedience is a sure tag and a sure sign of somebody that knows the Lord. The people of obedience. Number three, the pressure of obedience. The pressure of obedience. And that's in the next word, ought. How many sees it? We ought to obey. You know what that word ought, there means? And I'm talking about the pressure. Do we feel pressure to obey God? Do we feel that it is a compelling thing in our life to do what God wants us to do? The word ought means it's necessary. Peter said, hey, persecute us if you will, but God's got angels that can open prison doors. Intend to kill us if you want to, but I want you to know you'll find yourself to be fighting against God. But obey we must. Obey God, we must. It's necessary. The word also means should. We should obey God rather than man. It also means must. We must. It also means needful. It is needful. Now you know that if something's needful, that means whatever's needful, if it's not done, then something's going to be left undone. If something's needful. Amen. If I need it, that means I can't do without it. And Peter is saying, along with the voice of the other apostles, we ought to obey God. That is, we feel that it is a compelling, we feel the compelling pressure on us to obey God. The people will put pressure on you not to obey. The peers around you at school, young people, will tell you and put pressure on you not to do right and live right and talk right and be counted in verbally and visibly as a Christian. They'll put the pressure on you. And you'll cave in and you'll cater to that and you'll compromise and you will change like a chameleon lizard. Chameleon. Did I say that right? Chameleon. It kind of blends in with whatever tree it's on. But I want to tell you, dear friend, if you are like these men here that had the pressure on them, they felt it to be an obligation to obey God. That pressure was greater than the persecution. That's why they didn't let the persecution stop them. The pressure to obey. Number four, the present. The present tense, if you want to identify it that way, the present tense of obey. We ought to obey. And I looked that word ought up in its usage there, and did you know it's in the present tense? Hello, Tokyo. Do y'all know what present tense means? Right now. How many intends on obeying? How many could say, I used to obey? have obeyed, or I want to, or I plan on it. But all obedience is no good unless it's right now. Oh, we need some right now, present tense Christians. Well, amen. I like it myself. So there's the present tense. Could I get this one? I've seen it as I was reading the Scripture, and I just took my pen out and made me a little mark there so I wouldn't forget it. Look back over in verse 32. I meant to use this one right after the people point. But look at verse 32. And we are His witnesses of these things. And I like this. And so is also the Holy Ghost, which whom God hath given to them that obey Him. A lot of people use this verse to show this is how you get filled with the Spirit, is obedience. God gives His Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. But here's the point I want to deal. You can just write it down. The partner of obedience. The partner of obedience is the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, I don't know who's going to go with me if I go. I don't know who's going to do it. I need somebody. The Holy Ghost says, here I am. Peter says that in verse number 29, we ought to obey God. And then verse 32, he said, we are witnesses of these things. And I like this. And so is also. So is also the Holy Ghost. Amen. Boy, that good. The partner of obedience. All right, let's move on. Let me deal with this. I don't know what number that is. I didn't have that wrote down, so I just added in there. So it's probably number 6, probably. I guess it is. We talk about the priority of obedience. The priority of obedience. Look at verse 29. We ought to obey who? God rather than men. Now, where do you get the word priority? The word rather. The word rather. We ought to obey God rather than men, showing that there is an option, showing that you can either obey men or you can obey God. And look at here. The word rather means we need to obey more. The word rather means more. Huh? Come on now. It also means to a greater degree. Obey God rather than man to a greater degree. It also means, the word rather means more willingly. Obey God more willingly than men. More readily than men. Sooner. Obey God sooner than men. Obey God better than men. Now you have to know this tonight, that there are Scriptures in the Bible that shows us that we're to obey men. Let me give you some examples. Children are to obey their parents. Hello? You're to obey men in that regard. You're to obey them that God's put over you as your parents. Are you listening? Here's what I want you to know, young people. Your obedience to God should be an essential, more willingly, it should be, it should be more than your obedience to them. And so in that light, of that thought, if you're not right with your parents and not obeying your parents, how could you possibly rise to the higher level to obey God? Amen? Come on now, young people. Amen? You can sleep when you get to the house. Let me tell you this right here. Lord, just give me this. When God lets you have 18 to 20 or whatever years at home, and me, it was 20... How old was I when I got married? 23? No, 25. I was 25. Yeah. Can you believe that? I run as long as I could run. But here's the thing, young people. God has put you in a home with parents and guardians over you to obey. And you know what that's doing? That's preparing you to learn how to obey God. If you young people can't obey your earthly father, how do you possibly expect to obey your heavenly father? Say amen. Yeah, amen. You parents ought to say, amen, preacher, preach it.
Yeah. Amen.
Huh? You can't be at the house as a young person and be a rebel at the house and come in here and say, preacher, I want to testify. I won't know no different, amen, but all your mom and daddy will be frowning and saying, Say amen. I mean, there's obedience to men taught in the Bible, parents to children, students to teachers, employees to employers. Are you listening? Church member to pastor. Of course, we could get this one and make some of you like it. Ladies, obey your husbands. Ouch. Boy, that hurt, didn't it? Miss Donovan about got choked on that one, didn't you? See, just cough it up. It'll come out. Amen. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She just coughed at the wrong time. Amen. Are you listening? But I'm just saying there's a whole lot of obedience to men taught about in the Bible. But God said we ought to have a higher priority to obey God. All right, let me give you this quickly. Verse 38 and 39 will be point next, whatever it is. The prevailing of obedience. The prevailing of obedience. The prevailing of obedience. In other words, you obey God. It may get fought against, and there may be the persecution we started out with, and there may be the opposition, but you hang with it because you've got the Holy Ghost as your partner. That is also a witness in your behalf and along with you, infusing power and strength in you. But oh, if what you're doing is of God, it cannot be overthrown. It cannot. It cannot come to naught. Look at the attacks that's been on the church ever since its conception. Amen. It's been tried, my friend, through rivers of blood to do away with the church. But isn't it wonderful to stand and report tonight that here in August of 2010, the church still stands. Why? It's of God. Amen. That bunch of knuckleheads over there that's fixing to attack Israel. They think just because they've got a few little bombs and a few little this and a little that, and they're going to attack little Israel. They better do a little history lesson, a little history study. Amen. In the Bible before they get too cocky. And just read about the Six-Day War. Completely outnumbered, fighting with airplanes that was worn out, tanks that was worn out, weapons that was worn out. I'm going to tell you, listen, though they were outnumbered ridiculously, God was on their side. And you can't overthrow it because God, that's the apple of God's eye. They're going to fool around. That bunch of ragheads over there is going to fool around and get God upset. You start messing with the seed of Abraham, friend. God still says, I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll bless thee that bless them. Curse them that curse thee. I'll tell you, America is about a half an inch from turning against it. Ourself, we've got a government, my friend, in play now that's, my friend, going to turn our country against Israel just as sure as your name is what it is. We're just so close to it now, it's pathetic. And it doesn't matter, my friend. You listen to me, and I'm not dealing with it right now, but this is the truth. All nations of the earth are going to turn against Israel, including America. Are you listening? I'm just going to make this little statement right here and go on because I'm ready to go to the house. I'm ready to go to the house. Amen. But we have got the government now in place. that has helping to set the stage. Helping to build the platform. Helping my friend to set it up for the appearance of the Antichrist. All nations going to turn against Israel. All nations, my friend, is going to agree to attack little Israel, but they're going to bite off more than they can chew. Because not even nuclear warfare can do anything with God. Hey, man, you can't shoot him. You can't blow him up. Hey, man, he's bigger than eternity. He wouldn't even say ouch. Amen. That's why you and I better go with God. That's why you and I individually and our church collectively, we ought to go with God and obey God. Because if we do, we have God on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The prevailing of obedience, 38 and 39. Verse 41, the praise of obedience. The praise of obedience. They were beaten. Verse 40, they were beaten. But verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. That was not emotionalism. I'll tell you what I believe that was. I believe that was Holy Ghost produced joy because they'd been guilty of nothing but obeying God. Amen. And they were rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. But I tell you what I also believe was incorporated in that rejoicing was, hey fellas, let's go preach some more. Let's go obey some more. Let's go! Can't quit the praise of obedience. I like that. And look at this, verse 42. Remember I told you a while ago I had to pull my pen out and mark that? I seen it as I was reading it. And I've read this, I don't know how many times, but it's alive. That book's alive. And here's another one to add that I don't even have on the outline or anything, but verse number 42, and said, and daily in the temple and in every house, here's the words, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Could I title that as the perseverance of obedience? Could we title that as the perseverance of obedience? We're going to obey God, sink or swim. We're going with Jesus and doing the will of God. Oh, if God could raise up another generation that would step up and say, preacher, we ought to obey God rather than men. Oh, yes. And then last, verse 42, and also chapter 6, verse 1, there is the production of obedience. They went in the temple preaching, every house preaching Jesus Christ, and look what happens as a result of that in verse 1 of chapter 6. And in those days, what days? Days of persecuted obedience. Persevering obedience. And in those days when Jesus was being preached in the temple daily and in house to house, and in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. That goes into another story. But here's the point. The progress, or the production. Peter and the apostles obeyed God. Wouldn't stop even at the threat, even at being imprisoned and being beaten and being threatened and commanded. Don't obey God. That's when you break away from obeying men. You say, preacher, we're supposed to obey men, you know, but there's a point that you break away. Here, these men were being told by the chief priests and all that bunch, shut up. Don't speak anymore in his name. Amen? When there's any voice, whether it comes from friends, whether it comes from family, whether it comes from enemies, that my friend ushers to you a word that tells you to not live right, don't talk right, don't think right, don't do right, don't be faithful to the house of God, don't give yourself to the things of God. My friend, when you hear that voice, don't obey it. Don't obey it. Amen. So there's the production of obedience. So if we're going, we're to go. There's one thing required in going. Obedience. Amen. Let's all stand our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.